Have you ever seen the old wooden tops that kids used to play with, how they were shaped?
Yep.
It was big on top and round it, and they came down to a point. Well, that's something like a plumb line, only on the top of it, they've got a string, and it's made out of a steel weight. And when you hold that string up, that steel weight suspended is drawn down to the earth by the gravitational pull. So when you hold that string up, you become a perfect straight line.
Yes.
I mean perfect. It's neither to the left nor to the right. Straight up and down.
Right.
Straight up and down.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of ways this particular piece or instrument is for building. Now, Brother Hughes knows what a plumb line is. They use it in surveying a lot. They've been doing a lot of surveying around where I have my place of business. And you watch them, and they'll get out there with that plumb line once they find out where they're supposed to be. And they'll be looking through that transit, and they'll keep moving it over just a little bit here, a little bit there. And all of a sudden, that guy will say, "That's it," and he'll just let it down to the earth. And right there is where that mark is on that earth for wherever they're measuring out. And they'll drive that stake right in that point where that plumb line touched. We have levels that's got bubbles in them. And I mean, you put it on if you want to find out. I mean, when they built this church, they had to level it. I mean, I got to thinking about that. You know, if we never had a level and here they built the Empire State Building, what would it look like before they got to the top if they never had a level? If people just got back and eyeballed and said, "Oh, yeah, that's good. Man, by the time you went how many floors up, you would have a whole lot of off places in it." But we have all kinds of measurements and instruments to measure to make sure things are exact. I mean, when you get into like machinists and you're machining steel, they got micrometers and dial calipers, and they get down to the minute measurements on that. I mean, when you got to get down, they go down below the thousands. They break it down into the hundreds of thousands, and those little fine instruments measure so exact and so perfect, they know exactly how thick a piece of steel is.
Yes.
So we got all kinds of measurements, all kinds of instruments to measure with. Well, Jesus was standing on that wall, and it was made with the plumb line, and he had a plumb line in his hand.
Yeah.
"Hey, Amos, what do you see there?" And he said, "I see a plumb line."
Plumb line.
Oh, Lord. And you know, we've got a plumb line tonight.
Lord has a plumb line.
To go by. Have you ever read in the Bible where it says this way is narrow? This way is straight and difficult. And this way is not the broad way. But when you walk upon it, it's a way that's very, very difficult, because it goes against all the grain of the flesh. And if you'll line up to Jesus Christ, you'll line up just like that plumb line. And when you set it up right there in front of you, you know you haven't got a variance to the left or the right of it. You've got to walk straight toward, I mean, it's perfect, straight up and down. And that's what God really expects us to do as Christians, is to walk perfect before Him, that people may see Him through our walk.
That's good preaching, right?
I mean, when I got saved, man, God saved me. And you know what? He led me to the right church. He led me to the church that was going to feed my soul. And He led me in the right way. And He led me in the right doctrine that I may grow and develop my skills in Him.
Hallelujah.
I mean, when we was babies, when we was children, you know, our mothers fed us milk. She never gave us a big hunk of steak to eat on. We never had any teeth. We had to wait until we got to that point where we could eat steak. We drank milk. Well, that's the same way with God. God give us these ways to walk in our religious sect, huh? No, but he gave us the way to walk in our Christian life. And I was tied up into the Baptist religion when I was young, and I thought I'd go back into that. And man, when God saved me, I told my wife, well, I'll go back to church, and I'll go back. There's this Baptist church over here. I'll go back to it.
All right.
And the more I thought about it, and the more I was seeking God, and you know what? I had an open heart. I mean, God saved me. He saved me from my sin, and He created in me a new being. And I was sincere. I was a babe in Christ, and I was looking to my Heavenly Father to feed me. And I was saying, God, I need a place to go to church. And I said, I'll go back to church here. And the wife said, are you going to go to church with me? And it was a Saturday night, and I'd only been saved a week or so. And I said, you know what, I think I will. And I put my clothes on and I went down to that church. And when I went in there, God said, you see this church? And I said, I sure do. I remembered it from way back when I was lost, and I went in there and I felt something mysterious touch me from the head and go all the way down to my toes, and it felt like a bolt of electricity had hit me, and the devil jumped up on my shoulder and he said, you feel that? Well, sure I felt that. There wasn't any way I could get by feeling that. He said, that's the devil in this place. It scared me. I would not step foot back in that church. Why, I was lost. I figured, man, there's something bad about this. But you know, God led me right back to that church. After I was saved, He said, you see this church? He said, this is where I want you to go. And my heart was opening up where I said, God, if that's your will, I'll do it. He hung that plumb line up in front of me. Do you hear me? He hung that straight and true and narrow way up in front of me. And He said, this is the way you got to walk, son. This is the way you got to talk. This is the way you got to act. This is the way you're going to be a Christian if you're going to serve me. This is the way you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it my way or else. And you can't do it any other way. But you got to do it for Christ. And you got to walk straight towards Him. And you got to fashion your ways after me, He said. If you don't, you're not going to be one of mine. I never had to have some preacher beat me down over the head with a stick to make me change. No, all he had to do was preach the word, you know. I was sitting back there in the pews, and I was like a big hungry child, and they were throwing the words out, and I was grabbing them and hanging on to them and eating everything the preacher could give to me, because God had put me in a place where they were feeding me the righteous word of God, and I was eating it. Man, was I feeling good when God gave me all those full course meals. I'd leave out of there and I would have all them words and I'd dwell on them the next day, and God would say, read your word. I'd read my word, and all of a sudden God's Spirit would talk to me, and it would say, you know what? You need to do this. And the preacher would come, and sure enough, he'd start preaching on how to line up closer to the Word of God. And all of a sudden, there's that plumb line again stuck up in front of me, and I look straight towards the mark of it, and I seen God in it. Do you hear me? I seen God in it, and I started walking as straight and as true as I could do it, because God was in it. Wasn't easy. No, sir. You see, I hadn't been in the Pentecostal way. I was raised a whole nother way. I had to start fresh and anew. I had to begin my life over. I hadn't understood this thing about the Holy Ghost. I hadn't understood the Spirit of God being able to take over a physical being. Man, I got down to the wire, where the rubber meets the road, and I laid it down on the line. I prayed my soul out. I prayed my heart out. I gave God tears and sweat, and I prayed and said, God, I need to grow in you. I need to become closer. I need anything that you can help me with, Lord. and he would take. And each way, each day that I would get closer to God, and God would give me something else that I needed to do. You know what it was called? It was sanctification. No one had to go and tell me that my rock and roll tapes and records were bad. I had it inside me. The God that I had turned to, the God that had saved me, He was dwelling inside me. And all of a sudden, those things that I once liked had to go. So I had to go back home. And I tried to get rid of them. And I thought, you know, I got a whole lot of money wrapped up in these. And I said, I can probably sell them for a little bit and I'll get something. Something said, no, you won't. I said, wait a minute. There's that plumb line. Straight up in front of me. I said, okay, I'll take them out in the garbage barrel and burn them for you, Lord. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I took them out in there, tried lighting them, it started to rain and put the fire out. I said, wait a minute. I said, they're going to burn. So I went in and got me a can of gas and doused them. And I threw the match and got my eyebrow singed. Old devil said, see what you get for listening to God. I said, wait a minute, devil. God is God and God will bless me. I might have had a little bit of stupidity in me, but that don't mean God's at fault for it. That was my own fault. But I burnt them and I went through and I cleaned everything that I had that was against God's law out of my house. No one had to make me do it. I never had to have a preacher walk me hand in hand through my house and say, this is what I gotta go. I never had to have the wife tell me, you don't need this, you don't need that. God was my guide. Amen. He was holding that plumb line up before me. That straight and narrow way. Watch it. If you put your eyes on the Lord and press towards the mark.
Yes, sir.
Press. I mean, you're not going to get it any other way. It was once delivered unto the saints. This way, you've got to fight for it. Do you hear me? You've got to lay everything there is about you on the line. You've got to give it every all to Christ. You've got to give Christ everything. And you've got to say, God, here I am. You used me. And He'll say, wait a minute. First, you've got to get back up on the potter's wheel. He's got to take and start to... Oh, I remember. No, the netting of the clay on me. Oh, it hurt some. And I said, oh, cried out. And the flesh was crying and said, wait a minute, not that. He said, yeah, that too. And he netted that out. I'd give him everything I tried to give him, and he said, you got more to go. And oh, here come another preacher in, and he'd preach a revival, and sure enough, or I'd go to another church, and someone would preach another message, and it would dig underneath the roots, and it would spade around me, and God was seeing it if I was willing to change, and God was seeing if I would line up to the plumb line. I give it up, do you hear me? I let him ned me. I let him knead me and put the water on his hands and start shaping me up on the potter's wheel. All of a sudden, he'd get me about half formed and he'd hit another lump. He'd pull me back off of the potter's wheel and start kneading me again. I say, that's okay, God. I got to the point where I start to like coming off of the potter's wheel to get netted again. How there was something that was in my life that God wasn't pleased with. And I was crying out, God, here I am. I don't that God wasn't pleased with. And I was crying out, God, here I am. I don't care. Whatever it is, show me, Lord. Point the finger at it. Get it out of my life. I can't do anything to please you if I've got something in my life that you can use. If you get salvation the way I got it, dug down for it, I cried and prayed 3 nights in a row before I felt God lift off the burden of sin. I cried I prayed. I knew it was my last chance to make it in. I knew after this there was no other chance. I knew I was lost, and I was determined beyond all cost to make it in. And I said, God, if you don't save me, I'm lost. God, if you won't do anything for me, I'm done for. I'm destroyed. And God, out of His mercy, came down and saved me and bought my soul and created in me a new creature in Christ. And then God said, you got to get sanctified, man. You got to come closer. And I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then God said, man, I want you to preach my word.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care, Lord. I'll do anything you want me to do. You guide me. Put that plumb line up in front of me, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know the trouble, though? I still have got to go back to God and say, God, would you put the plumb line up in front of me again? Would you show me that straight and narrow way? Would you look at my life, Lord? Would you see if there's anything displeasing about what I'm doing, Lord? If there is, God, wow, let me line it up to the plumb line. Let me see it, Lord. God, and I will do something about it. And if I feel stubborn, Lord, break me, Lord. Lay me down on the floor if you have to, and jump up and down on me, but get it out of me, Lord. I see people backsliding out of our ranks every day. And I say, God, why? Why can't they see what they're doing? Why are they losing out with you, Lord? And God says they don't want to line up.
Right. What about that?
They don't want to conform to the standards. They don't want to go against the grain of the flesh. They're tired of the preacher preaching it the way it ought to be. They're tired of the preacher giving them the whole Word of God. They're tired of it. And they've given up on God. And they've turned their backs on Him. And they don't love the Word of God. You don't have to have a preacher tell you how to walk and talk and dress. If you're really sincere with God, you'll look it up for yourself in the Bible. And when the preacher tells you about it, you'll say, amen, brother, that's right. And if he tells you something you haven't heard yet, you know what you're going to do? You're going to dig right back in that Word of God. You're going to say, amen, brother. You was telling the truth. And you'll line up again. Trouble is, people don't want to listen to all that's being preached. You know why? Because they want to nitpick over the food. They don't want the peas and the beans, but they want the apple pie and all that other good stuff like I used to when I was a little kid. I never used to like all them vegetables, but God knew that I needed all a balanced diet to grow. We don't have to be stubborn. All we got to do is open our mouth up. And God will feed us. All we have to do is trust in God, and God will lead us. The trouble with people nowadays is they want to serve their own way. They want to please their own selves, and that's not pleasing to God. You expect to get anywhere in God's kingdom, you've got to turn it over to Him 100%. You've got to lay it down on the line. You've got to seek God. I can remember, man, fasting and praying, and I'm not saying this for any glory to me, but I can remember I'd been fasting and praying for about a week, and they needed some help up on these one fans in the church, and I was crawling up in the attic, and it was about 130 degrees up there, and I was weak and started getting wobbly up there, and I said, whoa, God. Oh, man, there's a long way down to the floor. I said, you got to give me some strength up here or else I'm going to come crashing down. And I had to lay down across the rafters for a few minutes and regain composure. And I finally got strengthened up and I wired the job up and I got out of there. And I never let anyone know about that. I was so weak and I had to rest for another 10 or 15 minutes once I got down out of there. But you know what? I was seeking God. I was wanting God to do His will to me, and I was laying it on the line, and God seen that, and God laid it on the line with me, and I was willing to accept it. I was willing to grow, and I lived for Him. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to give it all to God.